fighting for America.
The 12-member jury decided not to press charges against Officer Darren Wilson.
Stop assassinating black people!
Townhouse smashed up. Police guys on fire.
You need to stop throwing objects at the police.
One of the tear gas canisters on the street. Dispersing right now.
Fighting for Idaho.
This is 5 million people being given amnesty that Congress rejected, that the American people have rejected.
Fighting for you.
It's just such a great time of year to really be grateful for what we have and to celebrate what we've accomplished over the year and also to do things for others.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller in the Morning. Phone numbers 580-5436. 580-KIDO. You can always reach us at kevin@kidoam.com on Facebook and everything else. Joining us now, our great friend Dave Petzo, who's here to make some money. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
I think you have a plethora of microphones.
I do.
There.
I do.
It's a little confusing for us, but we'll try and get through this. We just had Black Friday, Cyber Monday is today, Small Business Sunday or Saturday. People are buying. Have we recovered? Has the economy recovered? Is it official?
Yes, it is. According to the numbers, it's official. It's recovered. It's been the slowest recovery in history. And, and it's very disappointing in a lot of ways. Wages are not as strong as you would hope they would be at this point in the recovery. And of course, deficits are still ridiculous. The government still, even in recovery, can't get its balance to get its act together to balance the budget. So.
Well, the issue here is, then where are people getting their money if the wages aren't there?
Well, they are getting some, Kevin. There's no doubt about that. We are growing. I am just saying it should be more. That's all. We've had better recoveries every time, especially coming off of as bad a recession as we had. That it should have bounced more, much better. But we have a lot of anti-business types of things with healthcare out there, and the tax rates have really jumped as well. So there's a lot of negative towards independent growth.
True, but could we be seeing an indication that some people are getting more comfortable with putting things back on credit like we had before? I mean, mm-hmm. If the wages aren't there, people are just saying, well, now I have a job, and we're all only human.
Right.
We go out and we buy something and we can finance it. Probably not to the levels that we were before the crash.
Right.
But are we seeing people a little bit more comfortable and perhaps lending, mm-hmm. including credit cards, lending institutions, more comfortable with giving out money?
They are more comfortable, but it depends. I mean, you hear people talking about on the mortgages all the time how difficult it is to get a mortgage, and it can be difficult. But at the same time, some of the standards are definitely coming down again. It's not a problem. For example, one of the fast-growing areas is car loans, junk car loans. So there seems to be...
You were very critical of those in the past and junk home loans. If you could, just kind of run us through what is. I have had a lot of people looking at buying cars lately, and look, you know how it is, Dave Petzo. Well, yes, you do. When you were buying the Petzo building, you wanted to make sure you had everything in line, everything was squared away,
right.
Your ducks were in a row, and you wanted to make sure you were very excited. We talked about it off the air, mm-hmm. to get that building.
Sure.
And just like everybody else, you want to make sure you get it.
Right, right. But first of all, you're talking about the loans, of course, the liar loans and all those things we had before on the home mortgages. But the credit quality of some of the car loans is so low where people really shouldn't be able to get credit at all. And that's the concern. People that are paying tremendous amounts for cars, things that depreciate, and they just stay in this constant, constant state of no money, and
right?
With no hope of getting out of it.
The Dave Ramsey nightmare.
Yeah,
but let's expand upon that a little, shall we? Here,
sure.
At 580 KIDO, and maybe the reason why people give these loans out is that just like they give them out to junk businesses,
mm-hmm.
they know they're never going to get their money back. They'll continue to carry that debt because they're making money off the financing.
Well, they do. Part of it is, that's true, Kevin, but if you don't pay your car payment, they can take it. It's a lot easier to take than a house.
So
they literally come and steal it in the night, and so they do get a reasonable amount of recovery. But in that case, that's... You know, that's why they start to loan, and people say, well, if people choose to do it, then who cares? Well, I guess I do. I do care that people stay in a terrible financial state. I wish these loans were not available, and they are in many cases usury rates.
Now, wait a minute. I am going to ask you, Dave Pezzo, the man who says there's nothing good about government. Does the government have a duty to protect its citizens from these predatory loans?
I believe they do, sure. And you're right. I know it's a freedom question, but I also feel that people who just can't seem to get their financial act together, we don't let loan sharks exist in society without regulation, right?
Right.
I don't think that legal loan sharks should be allowed to exist either.
Let's go to the phones, and we go to Two Fly Bri here at 580 KIDO with our friend Dave Pezzo and Kevin Miller. And what we'll do here, Dave, we don't have any headphones there. We'll just take the call and listen to it. Two Fly Bri, good morning, and welcome to 580 KIDO.
Thank you, gentlemen. I enjoy hearing both of your shows in the mornings, especially on Saturdays when we got back-to-back. It's a great time to listen. Hey, so I've changed jobs, and that's been a benefit because I've seen a significant increase in my take-home pay, which has allowed us to meet the current demands of life, utilities, and stuff like that. Good thing that I think gas prices have gone down. I think that has a bit to do with what our ability inside of our nation to get our own fuel and whatnot. I think somehow it's probably pushed by the executives up ahead to make Obama look good in 2016 or the Democrats in general. But that's another topic. What I'm calling about is that, yes, it is the responsibility of the government to some level, as Pezzo noted, to protect the citizens. But at the same time, the challenge is that that's the very same government that educates the people to the dumbed-downedness that our public education system has, that they don't think about things. Like you said, just like you have with Chris Troupas, when he said, all we have is gas and ATVs. I think that we're not going to be seeing good things come after 2016. I think the Democrats are trying to keep things good for the next couple of years so that way they can stay in the executive and take us continually down the path that we're going, which is not a good path.
Hang on.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Yes.
Exactly, and that's the problem that we've had for all these years. I do appreciate as well you've got Dave Ramsey on. Our family has been relatively debt-free except for our mortgage. And we've tried to keep it that way, and we're still going to keep that method. We're still going to keep the same budget for the next year, even though I have a salary increase, so that way we can save up more and be more proactive towards our own self-management. And that's what I encourage everybody. Always, 12 to 3 every day, you got Dave Ramsey, and on Saturday morning you got Pezzo. He's got some great insights, especially even though it's not financially
related. Oh, my gosh, is there a question here, or is this the
yes,
love fest?
Yes. It's a love fest question. There you go.
Yes, exactly.
So where do you see our economy going, Pezzo? That's my question.
Okay. All right.
Man,
well, first
that was
of
a
all,
tough one. He called you Pezzo.
Yeah, well,
he's tough, that Two Fly Bri. He goes hunting.
First of all, thank you for listening. That was very, very, very nice. And glad to have you in on Saturday. So the economy, I think it'll continue to do well. And beyond 2016, I actually see the Republicans, if we get the White House particularly, but I still think that we're going to have a much different governing body, and I think we're going to have a pent-up demand, what I call this explosion of entrepreneurship that's going to happen in this country once we are unleashed. And I really think that that's going to be very creative, innovative, a lot of new businesses starting up, and I think it's going to be a real good thing for the economy. As far as oil prices go, I don't know. This is a really amazing collapse in oil prices virtually overnight. Nobody saw this coming. Instead of a slow decrease in prices, this has just been a collapse. And OPEC met last week and came up with no production cuts. So we're going to see prices continue to stay soft. I don't know how low they'll go. I'm sure we'll get in a bidding war for people that say it'll go down to 20. Do I hear 10? You know, every time we go up, they were trying to outbid each other to go to $200 a barrel. Now on the downside, they're outbidding each other. But it is going to have a major effect in those shale oil states, very major. And a lot of companies are going to go out of business. If you've borrowed money and you're in this higher cost production areas, you're dead. You're dead unless prices move back up above $75 a barrel.
Thank you.
All right.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh, here he is. Dare we call him the Treasure Valley Money Man, Dave Pezzo? You have, like, restrictions, so I can't really call you anything, can I?
No, you really can't.
Just have that full disclosure. I really can't, you know, say anything nice about you, can I?
Well, on this one, we probably can. It's kind of off the cuff. Go ahead.
You seem like a nice man.
Thank you. You really, that's nice. And I'm glad. glad you think so. But
let's go to Craig in Boise at 580 KIDO with Dave Pezzo. Hello, Craig.
Good morning. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
I read something by Ambrose Evans Pritchard, who writes for the Daily Mail, concerning oil, international oil this weekend. And basically, I think that it comes down to the price of production. I think the Saudis are $98 a barrel. That's what their break even is. And everybody else, pretty much Nigeria and Iraq, and are up in the hundreds of dollars a barrel per being able to, you know, production costs. The interesting thing about the shale oil in the United States, and especially in the North Dakota area and other areas, is that a lot of these people have put in contracts over the next 2-3 years, I think it's 3 years, 2-3 years, that some of the rate of production is around anywhere between $78 a barrel and $28 a barrel. So they were seeing this gamble of OPEC trying to basically go ahead and challenge the oil producers in the United States as a very bad idea, because they're going to lose if they play this game to try and suppress our oil production so they can maintain control of world oil pricing and dominance.
Well, I would agree with that. As far as the break-even on oil production costs, though, they're not that high. So what you might have been reading about referencing is how much the oil needs to be sold for them to balance their budgets in the country.
I don't know if it was country or if it was just actual company production, but I'll go back and read it again.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia is just basically they have very simple production there. I think they're one of the world's lowest cost producers because the stuff just oozes out of the sand. It's not like they have to fracture it. Now some of ours is very, very expensive. I don't know that this is I can't imagine that this is a game that they're playing, that they think that OPEC thinks they can win, because the oil just sits there, and then if prices come back up, then it's worth producing. It doesn't go away. It's not something we go, well, if we don't produce it now, we never can. That's just simply not true. So if they hurt one company, then others will rise as they always do. So I think I don't think they're playing a game at all. I think oil prices are have a momentum of their own right now on the downside, and it's just traders are just knocking it down, 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 down. And there is plenty of oil in the world, and Saudi Arabia and others might as well produce it and hope that the economies of the world pick up. That's the other side that people forget. The economies are just not that strong in the world, so the demand has not been as great.
Right. Well, he thought it was basically a game to try and go ahead and damage. Or remember back in, what was it, the 70s, where oil prices collapsed and they just capped all the wells in Oklahoma and Oklahoma went into like a dead zone?
Yep.
I mean, they think he made, based on the business assumptions they were making, he was thinking that they were attempting to do the same thing again to basically suppress domestic oil oil extraction in the United States. So,
well, they can, but and it will, but it very naturally will come right back. And also the fields that are already being developed will absolutely continue to be developed because of the cost of the infrastructure is already in place.
Craig, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Kevin Miller in the morning here. 580 KIDO. So let's get to it. We're producing a lot of oil. We're having a good time. And yet oil prices still in Idaho, compared to other parts of the country, still very high.
They are very, very high. It will not be the $2 gas like you will have in Louisiana and Texas, places like that, where the oil is produced and the refineries exist. But I think we'll continue to see the prices drift quite a bit lower than they are right now. 299, 290s, whatever, very high compared to the rest of the country right
you
now.
You know, we always talk about the impact that would have. Mm-hmm. And Keystone and everything else. What's your perspective as far as the business companies? I mean, do they owe any loyalty to people in America to sell at a lower cost than they do to, let's say, the Chinese or the Japanese?
No.
Because we do have a surplus of gasoline, even though we haven't built a refinery in this country in many, many years.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't think so. I think that's a rule of business, Kevin, that you just don't do that. Because if you start controlling the capitalist system by design, then the government's overreach is very clear, and we will see the economy collapse. You can't do that.
We don't want the economy to collapse here. Getting back to what Craig had talked about, though, are the Saudis in trouble? And I mean, there are strategic partners, even though they've financed a lot of these people that we have issues with right now.
Mm-hmm.
Are they in trouble? Could we just one day just say we don't get here domestically, we're going to get from Mexico and Canada, and we're going to have the North American region?
There, you know, well, Kevin, we will. I think we are getting very close. We'll be within years, and if the president hadn't been so anti-energy, then I think we would be there now. We're really, imagine if you opened up some of these public lands to development, it would be incredible, just absolutely incredible the amount of energy we would have here. We are the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. We will drive cars, I believe, someday soon on natural gas. There's no reason not to.
Except the companies that are making money off us driving the cars.
And they'll make money off of us driving the natural gas.
But, well, let's hope that there is forthright and honest as you are, Mr. Petzl.
Yeah, but I think we will be energy independent. Now, Kevin, you bring up a really good point, though. Is Saudi Arabia in trouble? Not immediately, because you also have China. The rest of the world is not going to be producing the way we are.
China and India, consumer nations.
Consumer nations of it, right. And so, and as they grow, they're going to continue to consume more and more energy. So I don't think that that's going to be a problem for them, but what is a problem is that we, long term, you can see actually oil being a diminished asset because we will eventually drive cars on natural gas. It's cleaner. We will eventually come up with batteries that will hold a charge and take, and cars will be like Teslas where they just go long ranges and can go very fast.
I'd like if we could just have a battery for our cell phones that would work.
That's a great point.
Dave Petzl with us here. Okay, locally, what are we looking out for now? Again, the kind of the slow time of year, and I know you're saying, look, Kevin Miller, I'm always working, but historically, people kind of gear off. We kind of tune out for the holidays. Besides, if you're Hasbro or Milton Bradley, you're doing well. But as far as local and what to look out for as far as in the coming week?
Well, everybody's going to be focused on the retail and how well that's going. That's all they talk about this time of year and how bad it's going to be, Kevin. I think it was actually a pretty good weekend overall. But that isn't what the headlines are. You got to find something that's bleeding to put it out there. It was a good retail season. That's what people are going to be focused on. And I also think they're going to be focused on what's going on globally as far as the markets go, Kevin.
Dave Petzl, I have to tell you, I did some research while I was away in New Hampshire, and I went out and watched people shop. because I was working. That's what we call work here in this business.
Okay.
And there was one store, Michael Kaz or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had a bouncer not letting people in because you could only allow so many people in, like 85 people because of fire codes, and they were worried about people stealing or what have you. Actual bouncers,
I'll be darned,
at this place. And I posted on Facebook, I said, I guess the recession's over, or at November we all take a break from our bills and get more of them. But just the whole psychology that you've talked about, I agree with you. It's always horrible, but there's always lines at the mall.
There are. That's right. That's exactly. And people are they're shopping online even more, Kevin. So even though people are talking about that the sales are down, the stores are happy, the Target CEOs and all those people out there are very, very happy with what's happened over the weekend. I have to agree. I just think that people are shopping and spending.
Final thought, how big is the Cyber Monday? How big is the online stuff, do you think?
Oh, it's huge.
Amazon and everything else?
Yeah, they're just trying. I don't know whether if people get on there today specifically. They have been getting on there since Thursday. Right. There's
right.
been special after special after special. Best Buy has been knocking the cover off the ball. In fact, they had so many people on Best Buy, it knocked down their computer, their server couldn't handle it. And so they were offline for a few hours on Friday.
Dave Pezzo with us. Safe journeys, my friend.
Thank you.
The Pezzo Center, Pezzo Financial. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Good morning. A wet Tuesday, as Dave Burnett talked about. We'll have the latest from Larry Gebert coming up. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO, the award-winning Manly Man segment. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
You know, yesterday I kind of perpetrated the conversation or dominated or whatever you want to call it. So we'll start with any item of interest that you would like to bring to the table.
You know, there are so many things out there, so many topics. A great time to be in talk radio. I mean, you think about it honestly when you're coming down to the Ray Rice issue, getting put back into the NFL. You're just talking football in general, college and pro football in general, whether you're talking about ISIS, threats to the military when it comes to social media. The whole Ferguson case continues to bubble and boil on there. So, I don't know. It's just kind of it's a fascinating time when it comes to events going on in the world.
Yeah, it not only is it fascinating, though, it's darn right irritating when you think of the Ray Rice situation, where here you have Ray Rice, who, as Mike Lupica called him accurately, a wife beater, is portrayed as a victim. And his wife, who was beaten publicly by Ray Rice, is now on there talking about how they've been victimized by the NFL.
Yeah, well, that, and, you know, they asked her in the interview. She's there with her mom. And they ask her in the interview, has there ever been a case of abuse ever before? Is it? No. This is the first. I'm sorry. I could be wrong on this. I am no expert at this on domestic violence. But I think punching your wife in the face, I think it's not the first time you've been at that. There's been other incidents that lead up to that. I just can't fathom that you suddenly go, yeah, I'm going to punch you out. I just can't fathom that. You know, she's sitting there. So the question is it true love? Is she really giving him a second chance? Is it a case of, look at the paycheck this guy brings in. I'm sticking with him for the cash. Or am I just totally off base on this?
Well, it seemed crazy to me that after this happened and he was charged, they got married. And what does this, what type of message does this send to young people, to young women, and to young men for that matter?
Oh, yeah. I mean, to me, it just sends a horrible message. You know, some would say, oh, no, it's a message of forgiveness.
Not for Roger Goodell.
Well, yeah, it's a message of forgiveness.
But but you know what I think happened. I mean, I think the owner of the Ravens called up Goodell and said, hey, I need you to cut me a break with this guy. He's a good guy. Give him a 2-game suspension. And we're good. And I think Goodell has fallen on the sword for this.
Yeah, I think that's probably the case. And then the video came out.
Yeah, I mean, one of your bosses asks you to do something. What are you going to do?
Well, yeah. Okay. All right. Yes, sir. Yeah. That, I mean, it's just, and it's a shame because it's more than football. It's more than Sundays. This is about a problem that persists in our society. And because of celebrity, because of fame, because of the football, you know, position, a 2-game suspension, and now suddenly the NFL's in trouble, Goodell's in trouble because they were being mean to a man who punched his wife in the face and knocked her out.
And here's the skinny on this, and you and I both have talked about this off the air. The NFL's not in trouble. I mean, their ratings have been the highest of the history. The ratings are at an all-time high. Mm-hmm. Look at that Patriots-Packers game. People are tuned in. And when we try to make sports something that it's not politically correct or even correct, that's the great disconnect. And you and I talked about this where the sports media has become too much of a socially political active, you know, examining or not examining, but promoting social activism, like what happened in St. Louis with the Rams, as we talked about yesterday, holding up their hands and saying, we weren't making fun of the police. We respect the police.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just stick to the game. And how about the Today Show, where all of a sudden they're glorifying Jhené Rice? Let's take a listen here at 580 KIDO.
He apologized to me more than once, countless amount of times. I'm sitting there next to him, so I wouldn't be sitting there next to him if I wasn't the first person to get an apology. There's no way.
To me, whether we call it the Lewinsky-ification of America, we have her on. Look, she got popped. Now she's on the Today Show. In the old days, you had to do something to get to on television or something. I mean, I guess I'm looking for an explanation here of how in the world can we be? It's like they're glamorizing her as a victim, and for her forgiving the guy. Is that journalism? How about another question?
Yeah, well, I mean, to get on the Today Show, all you have to have is a goofy video on YouTube anymore. But because the Today Show, I'm sorry, but the Today Show is not news. It's just goofiness.
Hey, not to be confused with the Michael Strahan show in the morning where he dances.
Well, you know, I mean, the truth is that show is what it is. You know,
About Good Morning America.
Oh, Good Morning America. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Good Morning America, it's the same thing. It's not really new. I thought you were talking about Kelly Ripa. I was going to say, we know what that is. That's just sitting goofing and whatever. That's where you would expect that to be.
But yeah.
I don't know. You know, and again, it's interesting. I was reading something by Kenny Chesney yesterday, the country singer.
Great Western philosopher.
Well, he said 20 years ago, he wrote songs that objectified women. He says, I don't do that anymore. He says, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to objectify them in my music and songs. You know, I was just sitting here and saw on TV the Carl's Jr. ads. I don't know if you've seen those or not. They don't advertise with us, so I'm fair to say it. They're Mile High Burger.
Yeah.
When did it come about that you have women behaving the way they do, eating a burger, or even the language in an ad, that's okay socially?
Well, Carl's Jr. is the national ads, not to be confused with some of the great local owners that we have here that you know and I know and that you've known for years. Their national ads with A.J. McCarron's now wife, Catherine, whatever her name is,
mm-hmm.
with the bikinis and stuff. I mean, is it a spoof on the old Seinfeld where every time George would have relations, he'd get hungry and have to eat? I mean, I don't understand the correlation between a woman in a scantily clad clothes and a burger.
I don't either. My wife and I discuss this a lot because on Sunday, we was watching football, and it was like every other stop set was a Carl's ad.
Right.
And she's eating the Mile High Burger, or she's on the airplane saying, hey, want to join the Mile High Club? And her husband's going, yeah, whatever. But the guy across the aisle, sure. So in your mind, you're going, whoa.
Sure.
You know, in your mind,
sure,
you're going,
everybody.
Are we talking about hamburgers here? Is that what we're talking about? And, you know, it's just... within the fact that the burger doesn't really look like it does in the ad.
Well, you know, back to the Jhené Rice thing, though. Let's hear a little bit more. Oh, by the way, the president had a commission on Ferguson. And with all due respect, and I say this with all due respect to those families that have lost loved ones because of ISIS, shouldn't we be having a commission on ISIS as opposed to Ferguson?
Well, sure.
Yes, and Al Sharpton's mad, but let's go back to Jhené Rice. Come on, Jhené. Jhené.
She's shy.
Apparently. You're no Matt Lauer, Miller. Let's try this one.
I didn't think it was completely wrong for me to apologize because at the end of the day, I got arrested too. So I did something wrong too. Not taking any life off of what Ray did because I agree with everybody else. It was wrong.
She apologized for what? Getting popped?
Yeah. What did she say to make him that mad?
Apparently. Well, I guess she apologized for getting popped on the video and not to, you know, to make light of it, but I don't really get it. I really don't understand it. So we've got that going on. I've got a story that you've been covering quite a bit, and the story involving this Boise State Bronco that needs a kidney
mm-hmm.
transplant.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. And I guess it begs the question here at 580KIDO, should he be playing football if he's in that dire need of medical attention?
He hasn't really been playing.
Okay, but I mean the practices and the like. And
yeah, I mean I think he's been dressed down. He's got a uniform. He's with the team. I don't know that we can say he's playing.
Boy, to go public though.
Well, I mean I don't know. I mean, what is your issue?
Well, I think the issue is
since Kevin Miller has issues.
Apparently, I would be more concerned about. I mean, he dressed for the game. They made this big deal about it. And the benefit of it is it's bringing a lot of people to help this young man out. I would just be, because I'm a sissy, be more cautious if I needed a kidney transplant. I don't think I would be overtaxing my system. I wouldn't be taking any chances.
Well, see, I don't think he's in contact. The kid's got a port in him, for crying out loud. So I don't think, you know, as you see him, he's sitting on the bench. He's standing on the sidelines. He's standing on the sideline in the huddle with the team. It's just being a part of it. I think the team is, you know, the coaching staff is allowing him to be in his senior year to just be a part and to let him live out that dream. This was a kid that at one time last year they were talking could be playing on Sundays. Now he's a kid who's fighting for his life.
Right. We hear the story all the time about life. We don't appreciate it till it's gone, that sort of thing. What's your take on that theme involving this story here?
On life and not appreciating till it's gone?
Yeah.
I think, especially when it comes to a young person, you know, when you start having more history than you got future, you begin to look at things differently. But when you're, you know, 20 years old, 21 years old, it sobers you up real quick when suddenly you face your mortality. And that's what Jeremy's doing. He's facing his own mortality at this point.
Right.
This is a young man who has a child, evidently. You know, is looking to graduate college, looking, you know, to what the future holds for him. But, you know, he's also facing possibility of dying.
Right. Right.
I mean, it probably is as big a story, you know, a couple of big stories. You get the kid who was homeless last summer playing for Boise State and now playing a lot and turning his life around. And you got Jeremy, who's, you know, fighting for his life. Those are two huge storylines on this team.
Right.
Which I would think, you know, if the Boise State Broncos get past Fresno State this weekend and wind up making it to a bowl game, the media should have a heyday with those stories.
Well, they should. Getting back to the big game this week against Fresno and then going to the Fiesta Bowl, what does it mean to go to the Fiesta Bowl? I mean, there, and I think you and I talked about this. I mean, does it really matter if you're outside do the bowls really matter if you're outside the Big Four?
Yes, financially and exposure-wise.
Well, the Mountain West can breathe a big sigh of relief because their investment in Boise State, I can't think of the word today. I can't think of the word every day. Thanks, Dave. They're not surrendering, but you know what I'm saying? Their concessions, thank you, Kevin, their concessions to Boise State have paid off because they'll get in the game and the Mountain West will get some money.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true. So, you know, so Boise State suddenly becomes relevant again on the national level where they've kind of ridden under the radar here for a couple of years as they've gone through their changes.
All right, quickly, what do you think's going on in Coach Pete's mind?
Well, I think he's probably very happy for Coach Harsin. They, you know, they have a great relationship. You know, for Pete, it was time for him to go. He was ready. He was ready for a new challenge. You know, I'm sure he's very happy for the Broncos and for what's going on. There's no doubt in my mind.
He's happy for him, but do you think that he thought, well, maybe I should have stayed?
Well, you know, he's a couple of victories away from having Washington back on track. You know, he's got another year. If he doesn't start putting things together next year, we'll see what happens. He did a lot of cleaning out there at Husky Stadium.
What do you mean?
He threw a lot of kids off that team. Sent them packing. They weren't of the quality or character that he wanted. They were kind of thugs. Am I allowed to say that?
At least right now.
Oh, okay. They were kind of thugs, and he cleared them out. So there were some what they considered big-time players he tossed. He ran them. Said, wow. See ya. Not part of my program. So we'll see as he begins to restock with his people what happens. That's what I know, Kevin. And I know this, your traffic now. Going to keep an eye on that temperature. We're 33.
Coming up next, our great friend Nagmeh Abedini gives us the latest on her husband, Pastor Saeed, what you can do to help her. That's next. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.